listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. You know, Steve Quayle has always said you can't fix spiritual problems with political solutions. I mean, you just can't do it. And he's right. But what we can do is we can certainly take the time given to us as a gift, as a reprieve, to engage ourselves in the fight. And I'll tell you, I'm glad as heck that we've got two men of God that I'd be more than happy to engage in the battle with. That's Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Before we get back to Steve and Pastor Langford, I just want to mention the Texas Ready Seed Banks. Folks, if you haven't done this already, you know, we talk about solutions all the time. I'm tired of talking about problems. We have to talk about problems. We also have to talk about solutions. Talk about water. That's a big solution. But seed banks. Texas Ready has got them. They're ranked the highest in the world for good reason. They contain regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds. Now, most seed banks do not take into account the geographic differences in location planning, you know, in Florida versus Kansas. Well, hybrid seeds, Texas Ready does, I should say. And hybrid seeds are good for usually only for one garden. They don't reproduce true to type. That's why it's necessary to purchase stable heirloom seeds. Well, Texas Ready, check on that. Texas Ready uses certified seeds. I had no clue what that was. You know, most seed bank companies don't use these because they cost more. Texas Ready, they do. And you know what? Texas Ready thinks their customers are worth it. Folks, visit TexasReady.com. That's Texas Ready. I'm sorry, TexasReady.net. Yeah, smack me around a little bit. TexasReady.net. TexasReady.net. Check them out. I mean, they are the Cadillac of seed companies. TexasReady.net. And again, TexasReady.net. So I'm going to turn it back over to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Steve, brother, we're in the fight. We are given a little bit of time. We're in the fight. We need to engage. But take it away, sir.
Well, yeah, one of the things that I'm most concerned with at this point in my life, and again, I'm 65, you know, Doug, they say some people age gracefully. Well, wrong, you know, and I know Pastor Langford does a better job of it than I do, but here's the thing. So much is breaking now in the supernatural realm. My heart and desire is to get people to understand when Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, or all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's not in the natural. That's in the supernatural. And there's no way to appropriate that kind of power outside of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "To as many as received him, Jesus, gave he, God, us, the power to become the sons of God." So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. In the last probably 30 days, my phone and my email and personal visits are off the chart on stuff that's happening in the Antarctica, and this isn't just, quote, a pitch for my book. I marvel, Doug, and I said this to Doug this morning, David, that only God could have positioned, you know, the writing of that book, Empire Beneath the Ice, my latest book, you know, how the Nazis won World War II, and they really did in 1947, but the point is that if you look at, this is critical to what we're talking about tonight, this isn't just a book report, if you look at Kerry being sent to the Antarctic, if you look at Putin having gone there, if you look at President Obama having gone there, not all at the same time, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Kirill, if you look at everybody who's gone down there, the Pope, something is going on in the Antarctic, very, very, I would say this, in a very sinister manner. In the last week, all I can tell you is that the agitation in my spirit, that the greatest confrontation, maybe this is what you're sensing, David, in the realm of the lies that are going to be perpetrated when Jesus said, "Be ye not deceived, that ye be not deceived." We're about to be absolutely inundated with supernatural events, and the hidden archaeological finds, the hidden, if you will, power structure beneath the ice. And let me say this. When you've got certain people that are doing what I would call forensic searches of the internet, and people are starting to get the fact that something's not right and something very wicked this way comes. It's not just, you know, me on Doug Hagman's show or somebody talking about UFOs or whoever's out there doing what we all do, or Tom Horn writing about a battle rising. And let me say this. Next Monday night, Tom Horn and I will be on, and I think I can safely say that it will be the most mind-blowing thing we've ever done together. Now, why is that critical? Because on the path of the immortals, I would say this, in the footsteps or footprints of the giants, all this stuff wasn't to titillate. All this stuff wasn't to just, you know, be bedtime stories or for some of you maybe nightmares, but it was for a purpose, for God getting us ready to deal with what's coming upon the earth. And so I would encourage you all to absolutely pray and really believe that God will reveal to you those things which you need to know. And that's why I've written what I've written. And Doug, in Empire Beneath the Ice, okay, how the Nazis won World War II, and they really did, all of the different things they got into the occult, even their most famous scientists said, we didn't come up with all this stuff. We had help from the spirit world. So we're talking about a time period unlike any other in history. The prophets who have tried to be very explicit, when Jesus said the chief prophet, the testimony of his Father on his lips, the living God, and basically men's hearts failing them for looking after those things coming upon the earth, I don't think people understand that. Now, I want to go to Psalm 107, 31 through 36. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Now, and this is not obtuse or not relevant to tonight. If you look at the drought that is now basically taking hold of the entire western United States, and the drought monitor map is so dark brown, I would suggest to you that even though geoengineering, chemtrails, and all the stuff I wrote about weather warfare is active, that God uses the wicked, the devices of the wicked, to judge the wicked. And if you look at what's happened to Hollywood, and just the abject Satan worship, the abject profane endorsement of everything that is so vulgar, so vile. And look, I am nowhere near what do you call it, teetotaler, or you know, somebody that doesn't know what a wrong life to live apart from Jesus is like. But I'm telling you this, that the wickedness, I asked the Lord Jesus when I first became saved, I said, Lord, how bad is it going to get? How totally bad is it going to get? And he simply said that you cannot, Steve, understand the depths of Satan. You must understand the heights of heaven, because only by coming up can you be able to avoid that which is going down. Now, that's pretty cool that God knows how to say, if you will, in our vernacular, you know, we say, I think Pastor Langford, you say, it's fixing to come down, okay? Right. Well, it's fixing to come down, it's fixing to come up, and it is fixing. But God's judgment, now I want to say this clearly, God's judgment in the 107th Psalm is basically on the fact that the congregation of the people, and that were to praise him amongst the elders, but he is the one that's basically turning the rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. It's judgment. Yet will God not, as he has stated, preservation in the midst of judgment is God's way. He did it in the desert for the children of Israel when they were fleeing Pharaoh. He'll do it for us. Places that were once fruitful will become barren, and it's a sign of judgment. But not only is it a sign of judgment, but all hell is literally opening up. I talked to I don't know who I talked to. Oh, I know. I talked to a friend of mine that's an intercessor, and and God had shown her two giant doors, steel doors, and she never was familiar with a lot of the stuff going on in the world of special operations and stuff. God revealed it to her, and the gates of hell, which people have heard Tom Horn talk about, me talk about, are literally opening. And so when you've got 30 foot doors and the things that are behind them ready to come on the earth, men's hearts will fail them for those things coming upon the earth. Point. The point is that, ladies and gentlemen, your best thoughts, wishes, and hopes won't get you through this. Only the power of the Holy Ghost will. And David, I'm going to turn right back over to you. The thing that people don't understand is that God can, you know, use a donkey. He can certainly use me, and has. And for all you that might like to say, amen, Steve, so be it. But if this donkey was able to stop, you know, a bunch of dumb donkeys from falling into the pit of eternal damnation, then I don't mind being a donkey, just as long as Jesus is the one that's leading me. So here's the thing. We're up against things, and Doug, you know, I get emails, and I've told you this, David. Emails, tell us what you really know. Tell us what you really know. I couldn't know anything unless God brought the people to tell me. But I've come to the conclusion that I will only tell the Lord's people when the Lord tells me to tell the Lord's people. Because I think there are people out there that have listened to Pastor Langford and I, and it's kind of like information, what would you call it, a fix on information. And in the old days, if you got a newsletter one month, you'd wait for the newsletter the next. I can no sooner post a story on my website, or you, Doug, than in no time at all, it's past news. There is a contemporary immediacy to all news now, because it isn't getting better. But the Lord's word is unchangeable. So, ladies and gentlemen, please consider this. I can assure you that what's coming out of Antarctica, there is no way that you're going to be able to deal with it in your natural mind. Greg Evenson called me. He had a general call him and telling him, Greg, what's coming from Antarctica is so inherently evil. Now, if the most evil men in the world are going down to see something, say something, or meet with someone, I think we all better pay attention. And so I go right to Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If you are a child of the King, that applies to you. Go ahead, David.
Well, you know, what you're talking about down there is out of the book of Revelation. You know, the bottomless pit is opened, and there rose out smoke and like a great furnace. And equate that to volcanoes, whatever you want to, but there's going to be demonic entities that come out, and they come out upon the face of the earth. And Revelation 9 and 21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. And I was thinking over the last couple of days, with this, if this new administration is installed, some of the possibilities of things that would happen or could happen, and to kind of aggregate them and to understand why there would be such a rebellion. You think about reversing Roe v. Wade, rescinding the Iran nuclear deal, moving the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, stop funding sanctuary cities, and Jeff Sessions begins to prosecute mayors, reversing all these executive orders, currency wars, trade wars, doing away with NAFTA. You can see how the whole world suddenly, in a minute's time, could begin to convulse because somebody says, I'm going to do the right thing. It's not about doing the wrong thing, but says, I'm going to do the right thing. As I said, just the very fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, all of those that were 2 years and younger were killed, murdered. I mean, the personification of innocence. But this was the hatred, the retribution of a demoniac called Herod. And so all of this is out there. All of this exists. It's not hidden. It's being talked about. It's being talked about. And so, you know, when you read the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and the devil is kicked out of heaven, and Revelation 12:12 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, that's why it's called Great Tribulation. Now, the Great Tribulation, all of you people who are listening to me tonight that are pre-tribulationists, what you have to understand, the Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. You know, that has nothing to do with the wrath of God. Nothing, nada. But these foolish prophecy teachers, when they say Great Tribulation, they incorporate the wrath of God in that. That's heresy. That's blatant heresy. That's misrepresentation of the Scriptures. The wrath of God is distinctly put in seven vials or seven bowls. You'll find that in Revelation 15 and 1 and Revelation 16 and 1. Why are they put in seven vials or seven bowls? Because they are distinctly separate from anything else that's going on. The Great Tribulation period is the wrath of Satan. This is why it's important for you to understand, when all of this begins to foment, you know, and God has the power to stop it if he wills, but that's at his discretion. I promise you, in World War II in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, they thought it was Armageddon when the nukes were dropped. You know, when you're in the throes of this, this is your mindset, this is your perception. Well, this is just how bad it may get here in America and around the world, and it will globally in the end. If this is the time of the end, and we're getting ready, Steve and I have said for years, there will be a third world war. Make no mistake about it. Albert Pike said it. That's what the Illuminati's want. They had the First World War, the Second World War, and there'd be a Third World War. And in the Third World War, he said, there will be the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians fighting. Look at what Trump says he's going to do. I'm not going to tell you nothing. We're going to fight to win. So the element of death is going to grow exponentially, because nearly two-thirds of the earth, the populace, will be destroyed. Well, who is that? Well, that's death and hell. That's death and hell. That's what they're commissioned to do when God allows the seals to be broken. See? And when he begins to break these seals, we know that there's going to come a pale horse. His name is Death. Now, those that sat on him was called Death and Hell. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. That's the fourth seal. And so we don't know the exact time of these things or how God's going to do it. But the counsel of God, without a doubt, is going to stand. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And the trouble is Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And so God can put anything in any man's heart to do as he wills, to be a blessing or to be a curse. Just like Pharaoh, he told Moses, I'm going to harden his heart. We don't always understand how God is doing these things, how he's working it out. But you can rest assuredly, the word of God is going to be fulfilled. Luke 21:25, there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I was thinking, I used to think they would clasp this on Obama. But the more I look at things, the devil wants us to collapse under the banner of righteousness, trying to do right. The New World Order, the globalists, are going to fight us if it means taking down nations, if it means taking down countries, if it means taking down leaders. They're going to do this stuff. This is what the devil puts in their heart. And or God can put it in their heart. You know, the Bible is clear in 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, if God wills to put that in a man's heart, that's what the man's going to do. And that's why it is just so important right now that we keep ourselves focused on the Lord. You know, Psalm 7:1, David said, "In thee, O Lord God, do I put my trust." Psalms 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Psalms 50:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalms 108:12, David said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Unless God, Psalms 127:1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." We have to totally trust in God. Psalms 118, verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." That speaks of self-confidence. I don't trust myself. David Lankford is fallible. You know, I love Steve, I love Doug, but we're men and we're fallible. You know, I appreciate the life that these men live and everything, but I have to cast my burden, I have to cast my cares upon the Lord. See, he's the one. David said in Psalm 16:8, "I've set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." You know, if we put God in the right place in our lives, we won't be moved. But if we don't have God as the number one person in our lives, then the devil, with what's coming, people are going to be moved. And that's what Satan seeks, to move you. To make you as the chaff in Psalms 1, that the wind driveth away. Listen, God used a wind to part the Red Sea. And God can send a wind through this land, this nation, and purge it. And in many different ways, God can do this, folks. He can purge in a way that none of us could ever imagine or think. And that's why, you know, David said in Psalms 46:1, "God is my refuge and strength, a present help in trouble." You know, this is when we have to run to the Lord. He's our high tower. He's our refuge. He was our pavilion, our high tower. In the Hebrew, a high tower is an inaccessible place where God puts us, where the devil can't get to us. Well, that's none other than Jesus Christ. He was the rock that Moses was hid in while the glory of God passed by. That rock was a type of Christ. He said, "No man can see me and live." And so he hid him in the rock. And when the storm comes, you want to be in Jesus. Because Jesus told us in Matthew 7, there's coming a storm, and you better be built upon the rock. Because if you're not, he said, it's going to destroy everything. And I look for that. I don't want that. I don't desire that. I certainly don't pray for that. But the reality is, sin brings that. But when righteousness and evil hits each other, there's some kind of unbelievable combustion. And I think that's what we're getting ready to witness. I'm going to give it back to you, Doug.
Pastor, thank you. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, Steve, well, I'm going to turn it back to you, Steve, because I'm not even sure what I can add to that.
I think that there can be no clearer presentation than what David just laid out for everyone. And I want to take everybody to Revelation 3:14-19, because everyone has heard of this, but we have to apply it to our own life. And I'll make it personal. Has my love for Jesus, has it simmered down? Am I praising God? Am I telling how much to the Lord, how much I love him? The Bible says we can only love God because he first loved us. And because the world has perverted love and substituted lust, most of us don't really understand God's love unless he reveals it to us and works it out in us. I'm going to read this, Doug, and then comment. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That means vomit. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Half-heartedness, I started out the show tonight, did I not, with the statement, half-heartedness always ends in defeat.
Amen.
Revelation 3, basically, 17, you know, I'm sorry, Revelation 3, verse 15, basically says it better than I can say it, okay? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. In essence, this, I think I get it now, in a sense I didn't get it before, but the devil has embarrassed Christians into silence. Now,
if we can just allow the listeners and viewers to ruminate on that statement for a minute, consider that statement, because we'll take a break, but you're talking about neither cold nor hot, people being neither cold nor hot. Folks, get your Bibles out, refer to that passage in Scripture.
Amen.
We're going to be right back with Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle. I apologize for cutting in your train of thought. Folks, remember, right back, stay right where you're at. Segment we were talking, Pastor David Langford said, you know, he was talking about fallibility. We're all fallible. We're human. Speaking of being fallible, I failed to mention. Thank you, LLL. Thank you so much for reminding me. The first segment we were talking about the various forums, the incredibly talented internet sleuths out there. On 4chan and Reddit, and I mentioned the sub forum, the Donald. Well, thank you, LLL, for mentioning, of course, Reddit.com, the sub forum Pizzagate. All of these are extremely important threads for which these people must be commended and recognized. I mean, they did a heck of a job with their investigation. So, color me fallible. There we go. And then right immediately before the break, Steve Quayle read from Revelation and spoke about spewing, you know, about being neither hot nor cold. And we're seeing that today. And then I interrupted Steve with the break. Now we're going to go back to Steve. Steve, go ahead and continue your commentary on that with respect to the half-heartedness.
Well, I'm going to just share one more passage of Scripture before I turn it over to David. But I believe that most Christians are embarrassed. Okay, not all. Now, I want to make it clear. Not all. Most Christians are embarrassed to take a stand. Do you know why Donald Trump is so well-respected by those of us who really do respect him? Because every single thing, the people we all hate and we all have been warning about on talk radio, in my case, 25 years, Doug, in your case, what, 15, 16 years, David, you've been with me since the start, and I mean on talk radio. The point being is that all these things now are in play. And what do you really have? Here's a question. What do you have to be embarrassed about Jesus? Colossians 1:16-17 should put Jesus into perspective for you. And I want to share this, Doug, because it's important. Romans 1:16 says, David, we quote Romans 1:16 where God, you know, because I'm 100 miles an hour and I can't slow down in my brain, that for I'm not ashamed
of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation.
Okay, the reasons, thank you, David, the reason the power of God is not being manifest is because the people of God are ashamed and silent, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, and I make no apologies for the Holy Spirit. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Just put TV in there. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You ever want to see that in real action? Get into biblically powerful deliverance and watch what happens when you query the demon. I'm not talking about going into depth, but you know they cannot say that. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I put in the word holy, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Tell me the last time you saw demonstrable, repetitive healing. I don't know of any in the country. I'm saying every time someone's prayed for, they get healed. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Every single one of us, every single one of us listening to this broadcast worldwide needs to call out to God for that. I want to say this. My discernment in choosing friends and employees sucks. End of story. I absolutely need the gift of discernment. If you're a nice person and want to believe the best about people, which is a good thing, it can be your undoing, okay? So pray for the discerning of spirits, because it's that critical. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, that's talking about a language you've never learned. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You really tell me that tongues are the devil? Shame on you. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Oh, there you go, David. Now everybody gets mad. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body, and hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where is the body? But now there are many members, yet but one body. Now, I want to say something. One of the statements I made on your show the other, months ago, was the fact that the two most dangerous sins destroying the body of Christ are jealousy and envy. I want to add two more to that, okay? Because I believe that that's something the Lord spoke, and even as I'm reading this right now, what is the jealousy and envy? You know what the other one two are? Slander and backbiting. You know, somebody said the Christians are the only ones that, kill their wounded on the battlefield. Well, I would say this. Maybe they should change that statement to the only ones that stay in the playground and make sure nobody leaves alive. There is no position to deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The wars that are coming upon us will come from your own family members. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. The war that is coming upon you will be coming from people who work with you. The war that is being instituted, initiated against you are people that absolutely have said, praise the Lord, and pass the knife. You know, unfortunately, you know, somebody once said, I think it was Bob Mumford, God bless him, he said, I used to have wings until the backbiters ate my wings off. Slander. There's too much of that. And I want to share something. And Pastor, you know, if you'll take it, because you know it's in the scripture. But basically, Peter wanted to know, didn't he, what God was going to do with John? And everybody is, can I tell you something? Please, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are basically unchained pit bulls off your leashes, don't try and tell me that, that you have a word for me and that I'm wrong because God told you this. When you have no headship, you're under no authority, you're absolutely absolutely believing a lie. You're coming up with your own interpretation of Scripture. You don't even know the Scripture, yet somehow either I, Pastor Langford, or we don't know what we're talking about. David's been at this since he was a lad. I've been at it since I'm 21. Obviously, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I would really like to be, but I'm calling on God to change and transform me, because I don't care that people want to say this or that. David, you know the scripture I'm talking about when Peter and or was it John and Jesus said, what I do with Peter? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, that's in John chapter 21.
Okay, go ahead and take it from there, because everybody's minding each other's business and they're not minding the things of the Lord. Take it, Pastor.
John 21:18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned upon his breast at supper. Most people think that was John. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And what Steve's talking about there, they misconstrued the very words of Christ. He didn't say that. He said, if I wanted this man to be alive when I return, what difference does that make to you? And as Steve so aptly said, you got all these people running around. They're self-appointed. They're self-anointed. They're self-proclaimed. They haven't been called of God. They're wannabes. They want to be called of God, but God didn't call them. You see, God is clear in his gifts and calling. Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I can tell you exactly where I was, when it was I was called. Every minister that claims to be a minister of God, they need to say when God called them. Jesus called Nathaniel, Philip, Matthew. He called these men. God called me to preach when I was 12 years old in a dream or vision. I can't say I was too young to understand the difference. But he told me emphatically he had a work for me to do. And then as I grew and God and began to acknowledge my calling publicly, I had men, Holy Ghost Spirit-filled men, to lay their hands on me, Acts 13:2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You see, there is protocol in how God sends out his ministers. And, you know, we have replacement theology. We have people going around saying, God is done with Israel. Well, that's absurd. And I'll prove that to you in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What is he talking about when he says, for to make in himself, Christ's body of twain, one new man? He's taking the Jews and the Gentiles and adding us into his body. Not a Jewish body, not a Gentile body, but unto his body. They see these novices out there, they don't even know that scripture exists. They don't know their Bible. People have said, well, there's no such thing as a thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. Well, if you go back and read Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, you'll read the phrase, thousand years, six consecutive times. Six consecutive times. And for you to think you know more than me, I don't say this arrogantly, but to tell me there's no such thing as a thousand-year millennial, you don't believe the own Bible that you got in your hand. You don't even believe the scriptures that you're reading. Let me tell you what's happening, and Steve and I have talked about this. Men's theology today. It's not formed from the Word of God. It's from books of other men. That's where they're getting their theological doctrine. Not from the Word of God, but they're getting it from men. And I just told you, Steve and Doug and myself are fallible. But I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of the Most High God. I believe it is infallible. I believe it is immutable. It doesn't change for nobody. And you have all these jacklegs writing all these new versions, and they're distorting, and they're, as Peter said, they rest. W-R-E-S-T. You'll find that in 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles. Now, Peter the Apostle is talking about Paul the Apostle and his epistles. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. There's the word, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You listen to the wrong people, they'll tell you the wrong stuff. I'm not in this because I raised my hand and said, hey, God, call me. Nobody ran any harder from God than I did because I didn't want to be a preacher. But I have spent almost 40 years immersing myself in the Word of God. And I'm talking about study. I don't mean just reading. I mean digging and digging and digging and digging. That's why I can't get my book finished, Doug. Every time I turn around, it's a new revelation. I was trying to demonstrate scripturally. I knew it in my spirit, but I was trying to demonstrate scripturally, how did Israel ever become married to God? And I got the understanding just last week when God put Abram to sleep. What did he do to Adam? He put him to sleep and then brought him his wife. He put Abraham to sleep, made covenant with him, signify oneness, that Abraham didn't have anything whatsoever to do with it. He was asleep. But when he awoke from his sleep, he was in covenant with God. When God put Adam to sleep, he didn't know what was going on, but when he awoke, God said, look there. Then he said, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. God grafted Abraham into him, the oneness, the church, the body of Christ. Christ is the head, the church is his body. There's no such thing as the church is the bride of Christ. That's as erroneous as it gets. And if you get the book, I hope to be finished with it in a few more weeks, you'll see all of these things. But we have so much heresy. Just because you have a microphone and you got a Bible in your hand doesn't mean you know the truth. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. Well, the devil knows the Word of God better than most of us. He will know when he's kicked out of heaven, he has but a short time. When God kicks him out in Revelation 12, verses 9 and 10, that's why it says in verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows it's over with. That's when he's going to unleash everything he has against Israel, the church, everybody that keeps the commandments of God. He's going to go out on the earth and all of his emissaries, and they're going to, it's going to be unbelievable how much collateral damage. And this spirit is churning right now. And I'm telling you, what brings it to the surface is when righteousness begins to be exalted, that's when the power of darkness raises its head. He always has. And he's already beginning to do it. When you hear this existing present president saying, I'm going to speak out, he's already fomenting, already gendering strife and contention and clamor and backbiting, as Steve has well said. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And regretfully, we have so many people today. You know, look at all. Now, I'm gonna hold that statement off. I'm gonna wait just a few more weeks before I make that statement. I'm gonna restrain myself from making the statement I was just about to make. But I wanna say, let me give it back to Steve. There are a lot of people out there that don't even know it, but they're false prophets, and they give nothing but false prophecies because it's of their own vain imaginations. They handle the Word of God, as Jeremiah said, they handle it with lightness. In other words, the Word of God is a frivolous lighthearted thing, and that's how they handle the word of God. Zechariah 12 says the burden of the word of the Lord, which tells you the word of God is a heavy, heavy, heavy thing. Jeremiah 23:32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams. There are people they eat so many pinto beans and so much pizza before they go to bed, that's all they have are false dreams, saith the Lord. And do tell them, they tell all their false dreams, and cause my people to err by their lies. Their dreams are lies. And by their lightness, lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. This is also going to accelerate. Matthew 24:12, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You better take everything, as Steve has said, to the word of God and to prayer. Everything. Because if you don't know your Bible, you have nothing to measure what men say by. That's the benchmark. That's the rule of measurement, the word of God. If it does not align with the word of God, it's nothing but lies. I don't care how they dress it up. It's not the truth. Stephen, we'll give it back to you. I've preached long enough tonight.
Well, no. I mean, hey, listen, David, this is good. You know, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, is simply this. I want everyone to pray and ask the Lord, seriously, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God's going to pour it out without measure. And I want all the people out there that are praying for Donald Trump's safety and protection around his family to also pray that if George Soros has not been brought down, that God will take him down as he did Herod. It was Herod accepting the worship that he was God that caused him literally to drop dead and his bowels to open up, and, you know, basically the worms that were eating him alive had to leave the body because he was dead. Now someone says, that's not a godly thing to say. Oh, yes, it is, imprecatory prayer. There is no fear of the Lord in the land, okay? I can't tell you, Doug, how many times when I was on talk radio when I had my own show and also on other shows, I kept saying, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There is no fear of God. People pay lip service, you know, and you know what lip service will get you? Maybe, a smudge on the mirror, but, you know, that's if you're kissing yourself. I couldn't resist. But the point is that what we're seeing right now is a total, total abandonment of faith. And I want to make something clear. All the people that want to correct everybody else, spend the time in prayer. If God's got a word for you, you don't need to go blab it. Wait until God tells you to speak the word. There's stuff I'm sitting on, and it's not because I want to go na-na-ni-na-na. Just like David got checked tonight. I think I've been checked more. David probably got checked for different reasons than I get checked, but the point being is that I want to speak, I want to speak the words that are fitly spoken, seasoned. People, I'm serious. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. Pray, call out to God for discernment. And it's not enough to just say, well, is that guy right or wrong? Ask God to show you the spirit behind a person. Every time I've made almost mortal mistakes, it's been because I didn't go to the Lord and say, show me the spirit behind this man, Lord. Show me the spirit behind this woman who accuses me falsely. Show me, Lord, show me. And guess what? God will show you. He will show me. And we need to be praying for our brethren in prison, everybody. You know, the scripture says, remember those who are in bounds. Does it not? Or, you know, bound up in prison. And I got to share this. We didn't pray. We didn't intervene. Thank God for Jeremiah, Farrell, and the other guys that went out and the ladies that went into, Iraq and made a difference, and all of those people. Jamie, God bless you, my brother. And I don't remember all the people, but you out there on the Hagman audience, you raised the funds, and it was six figures to send these Marines. I love Marines. And these guys went in, and they didn't care about their own life. They only cared about saving other lives. And I don't know if you've heard this story, but real quickly, the State Department seized all of their medical stuff, the stuff they were taking in to help the people. And that's, David, when we prayed that God would deliver, I think it was that Whitestone. Remember when all those women and men and were going to be slaughtered, mostly women and children on that mountain? But God said, watch what I will do. I will tell you this. It's still the number one thing on my heart. Watch what I will do. And guess what? For Donald Trump, God's people believed him. And again, I want to say this. How is it that you were silent on the slaughter of Christians all over the world? And I broke fellowship with one guy that was a friend of mine for 20 years. You smugly say that, oh, there will always be martyrs. You won't do anything, and your own son or kids are going to hell. Yet somehow you've got an opinion on everything, yet you won't become active in life. You have abandoned your family to the devil, but you've got an opinion, and you've got answers for everything, yet none of them are relevant, none of them affect your life. The key is this, it's the application of God's word. And my prayer tonight, Doug, my prayer tonight, David, is that everyone will seek the Lord tonight. When you get done listening to us on this radio program, whatever time is broadcast in the four corners of the world, that ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders, as in Acts chapter 2, take it down, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19, there was no visible evidence that a person had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, as Jesus commanded the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem without the speaking in tongues. Go pray on Isaiah 28:11, because it's part of the armor in Ephesians 6, and without it, it's like taking an unloaded rifle to a battle. It isn't going to get done. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is as serious as it gets. You cannot give up. You cannot be half-hearted. If you're half-hearted, say, Lord, take my half-heartedness away and give me a whole heart. Because Psalm 138, and this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll turn it over to you, David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. A divided heart will destroy that chest cavity that it rests within. A whole heart will be that which basically provides you the worship on the highway to heaven. Doug, good night, my brother. God bless you. Thank David, you, blessings to you and everyone. We'll be on next Monday night, Tom Horn and I together, and I think you'll have mind-blowing stuff, because what we're talking about isn't stuff to just give you itching ears, something to itch with. We're talking about the power of God. Good night, everybody. And Doug, blessings. David, go ahead and close it out.
The verse that Steve was alluding to a few minutes ago was Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and that would suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. They are part of our body because we are all a part of the body of Christ. So Paul said, remember them as though you were bound with them in whatever bonds they're in. So, Doug, thank you for allowing Steve and I to come on tonight and share the word of the Lord. And pray God's blessings upon you as well, my friend.
Thank you, Pastor Langford. God bless you. Thank you so much for your gift of time.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night. And all the listeners
too.
As well. Good
night. Folks, that was Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com, and Steve Quayle. Of course, it's just a much needed vitamin B12 shot of spiritual. Eric was saying, when Steve was talking about with the one scripture, and then the pastor said, oh yeah, this, and then he finished the scripture. It was just amazing, right? Yeah, we can all do that. Yeah. Wow. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in. Folks, let me just drive this point home one more time. The investigations that are being conducted by citizen investigators, journalists, citizen journalists, and others on different forums, including Reddit, 4chan, keep going, man. Fantastic, fantastic work. It's like, every time I think I'm a step or two ahead of them, they go two or three steps ahead of me. It's incredible stuff. It's so important that we get it. But I do want to say this all does, it has its, roots, at least in the more modern times. It has roots back to 1993 when visiting dignitaries attending the week-long November conference of 15 Asia Pacific nations back in 93. They were involved with some pretty interesting things when they were provided with shall we say, young escorts. More on that as the week progresses. Watch the news. By the way, Trump had, a heck of a meeting with the media today. Dressed down some members of the media, or so it appears. And there's kind of a disturbing story as well, that Trump may not be able to move into the Oval Office during his first year due to security upgrades. It could have been done in the last year of Obama's term, but Obama decided to, not do that. Leave it to the next person. Rather interesting, in fact. We're going to be getting more and deeper into Snoop's sex and videotape. That's a playoff of Insight Magazine, or Insight on the News magazine from 1997, referring to a 1993 event. But this is all Pizzagate. It's horrible stuff. Thanks for listening. Till tomorrow. Stay safe. God bless.